Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Sports Radio 1043 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Terry Schimmel in for Mike Evans this morning. Be here this week. Mike taking the week off with his vacation. Work with Mark Schler. How do you pronounce it? Stink.
Yes.
We'll just call him Stink. All right. Now, Schimmel? No, Schlereth and Schimmel. All right. All right, there we go. We'll have you this week.
As Clint Hurdle said earlier, Jerry and Mark.
Jerry and Mark might be a little bit better.
Yeah.
It seems like a challenge, Mark, at least in my mind, to find a Bronco that might be in the top 10 in the NFL at this moment at his position. Now, potentially, there are a number of those. I get that, including their quarterback, in my opinion. But right now, when you look at the Broncos roster and look for a top 10 NFL player at that position, I think the question is, do you find any? I mean, you could say Cortland Sutton certainly has a talent to be there someday. The quarterback as well with Drew Locke. You got Philip Lindsay, who is, 15th last year, I think, in the NFL in rushing. So you've got some of those guys. In your mind, is there, I mean, right now, on this, at this moment on paper, in your mind, any top 10 position players?
Well, I think from an edge rushing standpoint, you've got Von Miller's a top 10 player.
Is he still?
Yeah. Right. I mean, the end of last season notwithstanding, he wasn't very good at the end of the last season compared to, you know, now you're comparing him to the standards that he set, right?
Yeah, good point.
So,
yeah.
But I guarantee you one thing, if you ask offensive linemen around the league having to block Von Miller if he's a top 10 player, they'll all tell you yes. Now, is he the number one player? Is he the player he was a few years ago? Go back to 2015. No, but he's still one of the, you know, still one of the elite edge guys because he has the versatility to, he's got unbelievable ability, as good as I've ever seen anybody, the ability to dip and to bend and to turn a corner. He's got the speed to do that, the strength to counter either bull or back inside. So he's one of those guys that, he can get you a myriad of different ways. And those guys are the toughest guys to block. So he certainly is that. You know, Bradley Chubb was trending that way before he tore his ACL.
Yep.
So I think that remains to be seen.
On that potential list is Bradley Chubb, right?
Yeah. And then, you know, I'm kind of with James Merrillat when it comes to Justin Simmons. I think Justin Simmons is a fine young player, great guy in the community, the type of guy that you want to pay as an organization. Those are the guys that come out, you know, third round draft choice. I think he was a third rounder out of Boston College. A guy that's done everything the right way. He's been a pillar in the community, done everything the right way. Those are the guys that you should be bending over backwards to pay, right? But I'm with James when I put on the film. Now I've seen probably more mental mistakes from Kareem than I have from Justin. Now I haven't fine tooth combed every play, but I have seen I've seen more impact big time hits and plays in the running game, in the passing game from Kareem than I have from Justin. So, you know, to sit there and say, well, he's a top 10 safety in this league.
A little bit of a stretch.
Yeah, I think he's close. I think he's got the potential to be that, but he didn't make as many big impact plays for his team as the guy across from him. You know, the other safety. So I think that's a hard thing to do. And beyond that, I think Cortland's trending that way, but the receiver position is crazy depth wise when you start talking about Julio Jones and all the different receivers, Amari Cooper, who I don't even think hits the top 10, but he's a guy that's mentioned up there, DeAndre Hopkins, Michael Thomas. I mean, you can go through a litany, Tyreek Hill, you can go through a litany of guys before you honestly get to Cortland Sutton. So yeah, I'm with you. I don't know that they have a top 10 player in their position at their position in the NFL right now, the potential top 10s, but I don't think you would I don't know that there's anybody that you would say, yes, without question, other than Von Miller, that's a top 10 player.
How about, in your mind, the guy that might get there the quickest? We're talking about potential. Bradley Chubb, would it be Cortland Sutton? I mean, Cortland Sutton, he had 72 catches last year with a lot of quarterback problems with his team. Would he be in the top of that list of potential guys to get there?
Yeah.
Does he have that talent, I guess, is the question?
Right. He's got that. Plus, the other factor is he had 72 catches last year. And remember, about midway through the season, they released their number one receiver, and he became that number one guy.
Yeah, good point.
So, I think that ultimately, you know, you've invested in that position. So ultimately you've taken some pressure off of Cortland Sutton. So he's got to be a guy that's rising through the ranks that way. And let's face it, that's where you spent your money. Or where you spent your draft capital. And, you know, you've spent a second rounder on Cortland, spent a first rounder on Judy, spent a second rounder on Hamler. Like that's where you're putting your draft capital. And let's face it, like when you look at the NFL right now, draft capital is king. That's how teams control salary cap, keep the cap down. You know, that's what they end up doing. And so those are the guys they promote. Like you can see exactly what a franchise thinks by kind of following its draft, kind of just its overall draft philosophy, right? And they look at it like, hey, man, we have got to address this position. We have got to get better on the outside. We have got to get faster. We have got to get more athletic. We have got to have these things happen for us because we invested a second rounder in a quarterback that many thought was going to be a top 10 pick. So we invested in that guy. So we've got to support that guy with the requisite talent. I think you would look at that and say Cortland Sutton has got to make that next step. I just think that that's a position that's really hard to take that next step to.
We'll continue our discussion. Top 10 in their position. Any Broncos there? We'll do that after this.
Hey, it's Mike Evans here. People care about three things when buying a vehicle. Number one, price. Siltahar Motors has the best prices and financing options, such as zero money down or 0% financing for 84 months. Number two, selection. Siltahar has over 1,800 new and used cars on site and at sthmotors.com. And number three, location. Siltahar is right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth, and they will deliver any vehicle to your home for a test drive or after purchase. Visit sthmotors.com and get everything you want out of a dealership.
Just looking at some potential top 10 at their position, Broncos, and just looking at some numbers, Stink. It's interesting. I was looking at Philip Lindsay. I mentioned he's 15th in rushing last year, had 1,011 yards. This one still just blows me away when looking at these numbers. Lamar Jackson, a quarterback, sixth in the league in rushing.
Right.
Had 1,206 yards and averaged 6.9 yards per carry. I've forgotten. And I didn't forget. I'm reminded what an incredible athlete this guy is. Isn't that amazing, those numbers?
It is not only incredible from an athletic standpoint, but, you know, from just a scheme standpoint.
Yeah.
What you have to do to completely turn a sport on its head.
Right.
And to say, like, how much clout does John Harbaugh have? And remember now, he was criticized and they were thinking about dumping him.
Right.
The year before.
Right.
And you know, how much credibility you have to say and to grab your coaches, put them together and go, okay, let's turn it on its head. Right? Hey, Greg Roman, now Marty Morningwig, you were my offense coordinator. We're going to let you go. Greg Roman, who was the designer of San Francisco and their offense, he wasn't the coordinator, but he was the quarterback's coach, but he was really the designer of that offense when Colin Kaepernick had success.
Mm-hmm.
And say, Greg, we're turning it over to you. Wink Martindale, defensive coordinator, we're turning it over to you. You guys put complementary systems in that match, and we're going to go back to this kind of collegiate, you know, 70s type of Georgia Tech offense, if you will, and we're going to turn the NFL on its head. And you know, I have the – obviously, I live here and we follow the Broncos and all that, but I call games. So I've had the good fortune of calling a couple of Baltimore games and becoming very, you know, very close with John and being able to kind of talk through that process. And for him to say, man, I'm rolling the dice and this is what we're going to do. And, you know, him saying at one point, he's like, you know, Stink, for 20 years, there hasn't been a new passing concept that hit this league in 20 plus years. Like it's pretty much tapped out. And he goes, our running game, we have stuff that we haven't even released yet that, you know, will carry us for another two, that people have never seen. And we haven't even unleashed it yet. Like, they are, you know, they're favored to win every game next year.
Yeah, I saw that.
They're favored to win every single game. And will they? No, absolutely not. Because of the way they're built, if they get behind, they're in trouble. But the bottom line is, it's kind of a fascinating, and I think it's one of the things New England is doing with Cam Newton, this one-year experiment to be like, hey.
I think that'll be interesting.
Right. They're just like, hey, man, like, we have a tough time defending it. Baltimore ran through us like poop through a goose, and we're going to put some of that on teams. You know, they're going to have to defend the entirety of the field for us.
How about Lamar Jackson, though? Has 1,206 yards rushing, and he led the league in passing touchdowns as well.
Right.
How about that combination?
Right.
Do you ever think that would happen?
Right. When you run it like that and you have to defend that, the amount of one-on-one situations he gets with receivers on linebackers, with receivers on safeties, it's phenomenal. Like, because they do such a good job of cutting the field in half and getting extra numbers in the blocking game because he's a runner.
Yeah.
You know, so every time they run with him, they'll get, you know, a 5-on-4, a 6-on-4 type of matchup. They'll bring guys from the right side to the left side, and then he becomes a runner. So you get that extra, not only blocker, you know, motion across as a receiver, but you get the running backs, both running backs in front of you. And now all of a sudden you've got a huge number advantage. I call it heavy spread. You know, they get into these heavy formations and then they just eviscerate you. It's a fascinating watch. Like, when you study them on tape, it's fascinating to watch how they just bludgeon people. Mm. I mean, absolutely bludgeon people.
My grandma used to put out a heavy spread too.
Yeah.
She was a good cook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Sorry.
Yeah.
You know Jim Ryan, the former Broncos linebacker coach.
Sure, absolutely.
They had a longtime coach. Great guy, by the way. He told me something when I first met him. This is, 25 years ago. And he said, Jerry, by far, no question, absolutely, the toughest offense to prepare for is that mobile quarterback, the guy that can run. You never know what he's going to do. He said that by far, and that's always stuck with me. Man, that's so true, isn't it? In the NFL, especially these days, Lamar Jackson?
Well, look at, and even, you know, the guys that have the ability to extend plays.
Yeah.
Like, you don't think of Patrick Mahomes like you think of Lamar Jackson, but his ability to extend a play and play off schedule and then have the ability, you know, to push it down the football field. I think that's one of Drew Locke's biggest strengths. You know, people said, well, you know, the Broncos were a lot better in protection when Drew Locke was in there. Well, yeah, you know, when you miss, you know, like you miss up front, you don't pick something up or you get beaten, which is going to happen occasionally. When that quarterback has the mobility to make that guy miss in the backfield, extend the play, and still push the ball down the football field, I mean, that's a huge asset to have. And Drew Locke has that ability, even as a tall, big guy. He's got great athleticism and great, you know, great elusiveness in the pocket. So that's certainly a big help.
Hey, let's get back to the Broncos potentially being a top 10 at any position. And we look at the RamosLaw.com text line, which, by the way, is 303-713-1043. And we've had three or four people mention the name Dalton Risner. In your mind, former offensive lineman, is this guy there or has that potential to be there, top 10 guy?
Potential, certainly.
Yeah.
You know, there's definitely potential there, but, like, Is he ready to, you know, is he ready to go to that level yet? And I would definitely say no. I mean, he's certainly not there yet.
Steady though, isn't he?
He's a good player. Yeah. He's a really good player. But when you start talking about the best interior players in football, he's not. I mean, he's not there yet. But again, he's got great potential to be, you know, a Pro Bowl type player for, you know, for several years. I mean, I'm not going to, you know, echo what the Broncos said, you know, from a report from James Palmer that somebody in the organization said he's going to go to 10 straight Pro Bowls. I mean, he'd be going to the Pro Bowl at 35 years old. That's a little bit of a stretch. Mm-hmm. That's hyperbole, but does he have the potential to be a Pro Bowl type player? Absolutely. Absolutely he does. And I think he's an outstanding young player.
Yeah, I agree with you. Just awful steady. What a great story too. I went from a little town in Colorado, Wiggins, Colorado, mm-hmm. and going to Kansas State. And you wonder how he slipped away from Colorado State and CU. Well, a lot of guys do that.
Right. I mean, yeah. And you know, I think sometimes you have to look, you have to project. You've got to see a guy from a small school. You have to project what that guy has the potential of becoming.
Yeah.
You know, and so, I think it's hard to do that at times. You have to have a creative mind. Again, that comes down for me. You come from a small school. You don't get many opportunities. And it takes kind of visionary type people to look at a guy and his athleticism and his build and what he potentially could become given some time to train and do all those things. That's one of the beauties of coming from a small school. Like you see a lot of really, when you come from a small school or you're more of a small school, and not that Kansas State is a small school, but in the overall, you know, mm-hmm. Big Five conference, it's a small school, you know, when you start looking at it that way. And you don't get those five-star recruits. You don't get those great players. So what you have to be able to do is project and say, hey, maybe this guy played tight end in high school, but you know what? We beef him up over a couple of years, and he trains, and he's a good, smart kid, and he works hard. You know, this kid is going to be a premier right tackle for us. And I live that life at a small school where you see that's how smaller schools that don't get, you know, they get the two- and three-star recruits. That's how they think. And I think you have to be creative that way.
Yep. Being a former college coach, I can tell you recruiting is such, folks, an inexact science. You never know. And every big-time college football coach will tell you the same thing. There are guys that I recruited and signed that I thought were going to be great and disappointed, and there are guys I didn't think were going to be able to play, went somewhere else, and they became stars. It happens every single day. It's an inexact science. So to go back and say, you know, CSU and CU should have, you know, signed Dalton Reisner, you don't know that. It's a really difficult thing to do. We'll continue our discussion. Four Down Territory next.
Be quiet. I'm answering the question.
This is Four Down Territory.
Let's talk football.
Personal foul, 69. Offense. He was giving them the business.
That guy's pretty good. If you like 6'5", 230-pound quarterbacks, laser, rocket arms.
It's my quarterback. And if you guys do that, man, it's unfair.
On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan.
Chicken parm, you taste so good.
Ready, break. First down.
They'd like to keep the color scheme, the burgundy and gold. That they'd like to do. That would be the only compromise they could come up with. The name's going to have to change. There's no other way around it. They'll lose a tremendous amount of money. And when you lose money, owners start worrying. But the key here is they'd like to keep the color scheme. And then they obviously have to come up with a new name. What's the name going to be, and how could they make it work with the color scheme?
That's Adam Kaplan, NFL Sirius XM Radio, talking about the Washington name change. It is official. We're not surprised by this. The Redskins have come out this morning and said, yes, we are changing our name. No, we don't have that name yet, but we're working on that, trending some legal issues and trademark issues, I'm sure. But the name change is upon us. We don't know what it is, Stink, but it's going to be something.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've got the Red Tails, the Generals, the Presidents, the Lincolns, the Veterans, the Capitals. There's a bunch here that are... the Americans, the memorials, the monuments, the Roosevelts, the Red Hawks. The one I've heard that's gotten a lot of run in Washington is the Red Wolves. Hmm. And there's a cool Red Wolf logo with the R that has, you know, a howling wolf in the R. It's so that's the one that I think is going to be ultimately going to be there. But, you know, it's really cool. I read an article yesterday about... this guy who's squatting on a bunch of, who's trademarked a bunch of nicknames and squatting on, he spent $20,000 on trademarks, and is, you know, squatting on all these trademarks in hopes that that's what Washington decides to do, and then he can, you know, make a small fortune off of selling them the trademark.
Yeah. Miami of Ohio used to be the Redskins. They changed their name to Red Hawks.
Right.
So something like that, like you're talking about. Red Wolves would be very appropriate.
Yeah.
Next up on Four Down Territory.
Second down.
What about kiss?
Oh, that's 99, 100%.
Catching is an 82.
What?
Jerry Jeudy, Chad Johnson, some audio from them yesterday. Upset about the ranking on Madden.
Yeah.
Poor guys.
I know. I mean, for crying out loud, just days ago we were talking about this release of video of him having really quick feet, and he was going straight to the Hall of Fame without even having to play a down, and now he's got an 82 catch rating. I mean, poor kid.
How terrible.
I mean, should he even play? Should he even show up? Maybe he shouldn't even show up.
I say quit. Give the money back.
Yeah. Retire.
Yep.
Well, you can't retire until you've actually played.
That's true.
But you can't retire.
You can't retire. No. There's a big difference.
Yeah.
Next on Four Down Territory.
Third down.
You know what made this different is they ain't never seen this cam. They ain't never seen him. You want to know how I know? They ain't never seen him. The forgotten cam. Tired of being sick of tired cam. Felt like I was just left to die. It's over with for him. He ain't the same player. Mm-hmm.
Always interesting when somebody talks about themselves in the third person.
Yeah.
That was Cam Newton.
Yeah. Yeah, it always kind of makes the hair on the back of your neck stand up a little bit. I mean, welcome to the world the rest of us live in, you know, where a team just kicks you to the curb. I mean, if you actually paid attention during your time in Carolina, you'd probably see dozens of your teammates, this same thing happened to them. So, and that's part of being a leader is really being aware of what's going on and having some empathy for what's happening to your teammates. And I mean, that's just the league in general. And when you're hurt, you know, when you've had injuries and there, here's the other thing, Cam, that you need to really embrace is there's not only a lack of faith in your health, which is understandable because of the injuries, but there's a lack of faith in you. And I hope you really, as a player, I hope you really embrace that, because what teams are telling you and the lack of, I mean, you signed a minimum wage deal with the New England Patriots, which teams are telling you is, listen, we have a lack of faith in your health. But really what it boils down to is we have a lack of faith in your ability.
Mm-hmm.
As a drop back guy, and if you don't have the ability to run it 15 times a game and run over a linebacker and do those things, we don't think you can beat people from the pocket, because the one outlier was 2018. For about 8 weeks, you were really good in the pocket. I think you finished with about a 67% completion rate. The rest of your NFL career, you've been at 58, 59, which just isn't good enough. And that's what we believe the real Cam is. So I hope you embrace that part. It's not just your injury history. It's teams are saying, we don't believe in your ability.
Hmm. How about, he had a great run in Carolina, but I'm excited about my new team now. New start, I'm going to show him. But we didn't hear that. Next on Four Down Territory.
Fourth down.
Takes the snap, drops back, looks right, throws right, at the goal line, into the end zone. That's a touchdown. Terrell Pryor just got across the chalk and was able to turn around and wall off defenders and make a touchdown catch.
Terrell Pryor with the media yesterday saying he's spoken to five different teams about coming back to the NFL. Is that going to happen?
Really? Yeah, that's it. I mean, I don't know that that'll happen. I mean,
it's easy to talk to NFL teams, though, or if you're Terrell Pryor or his agent, you just call him up, right?
Right.
Doesn't mean something's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, there are enough injury issues and there's enough things going on that you may get an opportunity. We'll see if he gets an opportunity. But, having the conversation is one thing. And then, again, it's not only ability and athleticism and all that. It's what kind of player do we think you are? Mm-hmm. And that's what we're seeing with Cam. Like, there's a lot of teams that, like I said, didn't believe in his not only health, but didn't believe in his ability as a pure kind of operator as a quarterback. So, you know, those are the things you have to look at.
You know, there's nothing wrong with trying to come back. You and I have talked on the air and off the air about your son, about Daniel coming back at, what is he, 35?
34.
34 years of age and coming back and trying this thing again. Nothing wrong with that. If you like, you got some gas left in the tank, and then you have to be realistic about it as well.
Uh-huh.
But nothing wrong with a guy like Terrell Pryor or Daniel Slara trying to come back and finish out a career, right?
Yeah, listen, if you still have the desire to do it, and, you know, Daniel's unique in that he's healthy, really healthy. And I always say, you know, if you took the time to actually look at the injury history, you would see that most of the injuries were from the waist down.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, he may be 34, but he has thrown a lot of innings. He's got the arm of a 27-year-old, and he's throwing, you know, he's sitting at 95 miles an hour in bullpens with, you know, one of the best curveballs in baseball, and all those people can look at is 34.
Yeah.
So it makes it frustrating, but you know, I mean, that's part of what makes it cool too, is the fact that I've always told him, man, until you're ready to quit, don't give up. Yeah. until you're done, until you have nothing left. And then, you know, then you can live the rest of your life without having any regrets.
Hey, if you're looking at an inspiring comeback in a true story, just rack up your I'm so bad with TV. The movie The Rookie.
Right.
You can download whatever you do with it. I don't watch it.
Download, upload, yeah, overload, whatever
it is. And look at that.
Okay. Yeah.
And he was a rookie at age 35.
Right.
All right. So if he can do that at age 35, then someone who has already played in the NFL or in Major League Baseball certainly can come back.
Those are the redemption stories are great.
Aren't
stories.
They? Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, like, I think the thing that about those type of stories is they resonate with us, the fans.
Mm-hmm.
Because if your story is, hey, you know, you were a first round draft choice and you pitched in the big leagues for 12 years and then you retired, that doesn't resonate with anybody.
That's cool. That's good. That's
right.
Cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's good.
But you know, when you've been asked to quit a million times and you've been told that you can't play.
Yeah.
And you still fight and figure out a way to get that done. Like, that's the great stuff. So, anyhow, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. All right. I hope it's a good thing that happens. All right. Troy Rank, who is an expert at baseball and football, is coming up next with us. Welcome back, everybody. Jerry Schimmel in for Mike Evans, along with Mark Schlereth, and we talk now to guy we do this a lot with, Troy Rank. It's sponsored by Trainee Law. And Troy, how you doing this morning? Good to have you on.
Doing fantastic, guys. How are you?
We're doing good. Last I think Thursday it was, Troy and I did this show together. We did 4 hours, so an hour longer than normal, but had some great insight there as well. And Troy, let's start with the Broncos. And anything that in the last couple days that we have not heard about, have not read about, that might be newsworthy in your mind coming from Broncos camp?
Well, there'll be news this week, Jerry, with Justin Simmons. He's planning on signing his franchise tender contract, which then still gives them until Wednesday at 2 p.m. to work out a long-term deal, or he would play this season on the franchise tag of $11.4 million. We all thought, you know, they would get a deal done when the offseason began because of the optimism expressed by John Elway. Every guy he's tagged previous to this has wound up with a long-term deal, but circumstances have changed to make it more complicated because of the pandemic, the lost revenue. There's going to be fewer people. We don't know what the crowds are going to look like, but it's certainly not going to be a full stadium, and the uncertainty of the salary cap. So I'm not sure it gets done now. You know, and the fact that he's going to sign is good because that would get him here for, you know, there's no holdout per se. But it's unfortunate timing for Simmons, and it still could happen. I mean, it could happen. It's just teams are looking to do the upfront money that they were, even the Patrick Mahomes deal. Part of the reason that got done is he took a $10 million signing bonus, which, you know, again, it's his money and congratulations to him. But that money doesn't relate to the context of that contract. So it's a different time right now, as we all know. So we'll see. But that is certainly news coming out of Broncos camp, is what will happen with Simmons. Will they be able to secure him on a long-term deal? I mean, the good news is regardless, he'll be playing one way or the other, you know, a long-term deal or a one-term deal, this 1 year deal this season.
We were talking earlier, Troy, about Broncos that rank in the top 10 at their position. I really came up with one. Von Miller, although having a bit of an off year last year, still a top 10 kind of edge presence guy. Kind of where do you stand on that? Do you think there are, I know there's some potential guys with Courtland Sutton and Justin Simmons and some other potential guys, but do you see a litany of guys that are top 10 at their position on this roster as it currently stands?
Yeah, I mean, they're young, and that's part of the reason they're not. I would say Simmons is, for me, easily. He was second-team All-Pro. So even by the nature of the voting in his season, for me, he's easily in the top 10 at safety. I mean, you could want a different type of safety that's a little more physical in terms of the way they play, but Justin statistically is a top 10 player at his position. He was their best player last year. Von Miller still is. I mean, he's coming off a disappointing season of 8 sacks. Even though, you know, again, he didn't have a terrible year if you look at it, because he played like 90% of the snaps, 93% at one point, when he's used to playing about 73%. So he was better in other areas of his game, but I felt like it affected him in his pass rush because he was playing too many snaps across the board. And anyway, but after that, Sutton would be the next one. Courtland Sutton has clearly a chance to be an All-Pro receiver. That could be this year. You know, Kareem Jackson, for me, is right on that verge of being a guy that could be in that conversation, and their safety position is one of the best in football with a healthy Jackson and Justin Simmons. And then after that, you know, you're right. You know, you just don't know. You just don't know. Jarrell Casey, depending on how you see defensive linemen, he's in the conversation. But the fact that we have to, like, really think about it tells you why they haven't been a playoff team. Because you can't just reel off 5, 6, 7 guys. I mean, other teams that are winning 11, 12 games, they have 10 guys that you're like, man, who would I rather have than that guy? You know, and the Broncos don't have that, but they're young. They could have that, you know, especially with a Noah Fant at tight end, a Courtland Sutton. You know, can Drew Lock get into that upper half of quarterbacks this year? So there's more promise this year, but they have to go prove it now. Certainly they have to prove it. But that list would start with Vaughn, Justin Simmons, Courtland Sutton, Jarrell Casey, Kareem Jackson for me, Mark.
Top 10 at position. Let's switch to top 10 teams in the NFL. NFL.com came out yesterday with their list of the, well, not 10, but 9, Troy, most complete teams in the NFL. Does this surprise you? They had their most complete team as the Baltimore Ravens, number 2, San Francisco 49ers, and then the Kansas City Chiefs, 3rd. Would you have that same list?
Yeah, I mean, but one player in Mahomes kind of makes up for any discrepancy that the Chiefs would have. He's Revlon makeup to any camouflaging all blemishes in moments of dire. Because the Niners had him beat in the Super Bowl, if not for Mahomes. Just running a playground play to Tyreek Hill changed momentum. You know, I mean, the Niners defense played well enough to win a Super Bowl. And, you know, their offense couldn't get a first down and they ran out of gas. But the Ravens were the most complete team I saw last year. I would have put them 1. And partly, I mean, Lamar Jackson had the best season of anyone. Because Mahomes was hurt too. But I would have the Ravens as the most complete team because they were also excellent on special teams and they have the best kicker in football, in my opinion. I would put them 1, San Francisco 2. The reason the Chiefs would be 3, Jerry, is their defense has questions. Yep. I mean, they made their huge improvement last year. 3rd down, the ability to get off the field improved dramatically from a year before. That was kind of the reason they didn't win another Super Bowl, because they couldn't beat the Patriots at home and stop them. But I would say complete roster, I would say, for me, I would have Ravens 1, Niners 2. Then, you know, Chiefs right in that conversation at 3. But on any given Sunday, Mahomes makes them 1 because he's way better than anyone else on the field.
Baseball, take me through the Rockies. Any news? I mean, it seems like baseball is, you know, plodding along and is going to start on time. Obviously, they had the, Aroldis Chapman came up with COVID, so he's off right now. But, it seems to be going okay so far. Anything that, we should know about in regards to the Rockies and baseball in general?
Just make sure your car is safe in the parking lot, because I'm pretty sure Nolan just hit another home run, probably off Jake McGee. Nolan's hit, what, 6 home runs in 3 days?
Yeah,
I mean, it's like, save some for the season, my man.
Right, right.
It's just really encouraging to see his swing path right now and to see his swing. You know, that just tells you, I mean, I knew how much he was working in the cage when you know the quarantine hit, he and Josh Fuentes, to see the way he's swinging it is really, he and Story both, because for them to have a chance, both those dudes, I've said, have to play 60 games and play well, exceptionally well, for them to be in it. Yeah, baseball is moving along. You know, again, it by nature is a socially distanced sport, and the veterans are telling the younger guys, like, we really have to watch our behavior off the field when they're home. On the road, they're kind of in their own little bubble at these hotels, so that's a little different. But the veteran players, guys with stuff at stake, are saying, hey, if we're going to do this, don't compromise the group by going out, like when we're home, and going exposing yourself to a risk that you would bring back into the clubhouse. So baseball, I have no doubt, will start. And I don't know that it will stop right now. I don't know that. Football, I have my own concerns just because of the nature of the sport, the contact nature of the sport. But baseball is moving forward, and it is great to see highlights of, you know, what Nolan's doing. Murphy's swing looks a little better. I got to see it during the season, but he looks certainly in better condition than he was a year ago. Brandon Rogers is showing some promise early in these scrimmages. So some reasons for hope, but the same reasons that they would struggle if they're pitching.
Yeah, well, let me interrupt you really quick. More encouraging, Nolan hitting six homers, or more discouraging, the Rockies giving up six homers to Nolan?
Yeah, that's what I told someone the other day, that he's getting the pitchers ready for the disappointment of the regular season. Like, no, Nolan, take it easy on him. I mean, if you're talking about a team contending, it's more discouraging the pitchers aren't further ahead. Usually pitching's ahead of hitting early in practices, especially after a four-month or whatever it's been, 3.5-4 month layoff. Typically the pitching is ahead of the hitting. So that's a little disappointing. You'd hope that, you know, but for me, I don't worry about all the fringe guys, and I think they're going to try to pitch around McGee and Shaw, especially if they struggle early. It's all going to come down to, can John Gray, Germán Márquez, and Kyle Freeland pitch well off in the front end, especially starting with the second time through the rotation. If they can, they have a chance. If one of those guys has an off year in this two-month schedule, they're done. They're not good enough to overcome that. So it's a little disappointing because you would expect the pitching to be ahead of the hitting. But from a fan's perspective, just to know that Nolan's coming back and he's hot and he's swinging it, that's good news, because maybe at home you can steal some games and win 7-6 and win some ugly ones early.
Hey, Troy, if the Rockies are going to have this successful season, this 60-game schedule, and maybe make the playoffs, and we know they have to, they can't start 3-12. You start 3-12 and you're done. But what other factors in your mind have to happen with this particular roster with the Rockies for them to have success in a 60-game schedule?
Well, I mean, across the board, there's a few things, but can Matt Kemp replace Ian Desmond as a platoon guy against lefty pitching? Can Brendan Rodgers give him something that he didn't give him last year? Offensively, he was disappointing. I like Rodgers' talent, but again, once you get to the big leagues, you have to prove it. I mean, he's a prospect no more now. You're in the big leagues, and you have to, potential's the kind of stuff that gets teams, you know, coaches fired and teams disappointed. So can he give them more? Offensively, can they be a more complete team, especially if Murphy over 2 months is able to show power, home run power, not, you know, I don't need him hitting singles because he's a base clogger. I need him hitting doubles, and I need him hitting home runs. But the key would be, Jerry, can a bullpen guy we're not expecting jump up and have a big year, whether that's Tim Collins, whether pick a guy that, you know, every year that the bullpen does well, usually there's one or two guys that you're like, man, we had no idea we're going to get that from him. A couple years ago, it was the little lefty they had, Jerry, the one that's no longer with them, that pitched out of his mind, then had injury issues after that. But can you have a guy,
Russin,
in their
right
pen? Yeah, exactly.
Chris Russin.
Can you have a guy have that kind of year where you're like, geez, we didn't expect that. Now all of a sudden he and Olberg are holding down the eighth and ninth or whatever it is, or the seventh and eighth, and Davis rebounds. That's what would have to happen for me, is somebody in the pen over 2 months just doing something for outside of Olberg that we're not expecting. And that means Davis has to be good, and somebody else, you know, somebody else underneath them that takes over the seventh inning for 2 months.
Man, you got a passion for baseball still, don't you, Troy? I can tell in your voice. You miss it.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. I don't miss covering every day because it just wasn't the lifestyle I wanted to keep living. But I love it. I mean, again, I get up and watch Korean baseball a couple times a week in the middle of the night just because I love baseball. But, yeah, I'm excited it's coming back. I mean, the Rapids come back last night. I don't even watch soccer, and I'm watching it. Of course, they score 0. Neil, I'm like, really? That's how we welcome back hard to sports? Give me some baseball.
Hey, Troy, thank you, sir. Great to talk to you. Great insight as well. We appreciate it.
See ya.
All right. Troy Rank, sponsored by Trainee Law, and always get some great insight is Troy Rank. He was a he covers the Broncos now for the most part, but he was a terrific beat writer for the Denver Post, I thought anyway. All of his stuff was very – I love Patrick Saunders. He is right there. Troy is a very talented writer. Love that guy.
No question. He's one of those guys that follows everything passionately and has great knowledge, great connections, great knowledge of all the sports that he covers. So he really immerses himself into that world. And, I've never had that real ability to, I am passionate about football. I love to learn about football. The rest of the stuff I just like to be entertained by, I don't want to necessarily immerse myself into, the NBA and all that kind of stuff. I just watch it and I'm entertained by it and that's good enough for me. But Troy really does have a great depth of knowledge of pretty much all sports because he's just that, he's just that big a sports fan.
This is a KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont, Denver.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.